the wild, there is no health care. In the wild, health care is, ow, I hurt my leg, I can't run, a lion eats me, and I'm dead.
That is the weirdest thing you have ever said.
Welcome to the Non-Traditional Pharmacist Podcast, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The Non-Traditional Pharmacist provides the pharmacist professional ideas to help you think outside the box. Pharmacy is evolving fast, and this podcast is all about the evolution of the pharmacist's role in healthcare. And now, here is the Non-Traditional Pharmacist team, Lynn, Matt, and Nick.
Pharmacy Podcast Network. This is Todd Urey, founder of the Pharmacy Podcast. You know, I am someone who learns more from listening to others than any other way. It's the reason that I developed podcasting and really launched what was known as the Pharmacy Podcast Show originally. And I continue to learn that way. I find myself not watching YouTube, but listening to YouTube as I'm doing something else because of my multitasking at all times. And I am a avid podcast listener, obviously. I believe in podcasting and what that can do for us, especially that time that we can't really be doing anything else. For the moms out there, your hands are full. For the dads out there who have kids, your hands are full. What are you going to do when you're making dinner or taking care of the kids, or you're jogging, exercising? The lives of people that are hustlers, that have side hustles, that are driving in cars for long distances. I drive 1 hour and 5 minutes to the airport, and I do that 6 times per week sometimes. So that's a lot of windshield time and a lot of podcasting time. There's a guy out there that has joined the network about 6 to 8 months ago, Mr. Matt Paterini, who is the guest tonight. Tonight's episode is called Millennial X. And I think that Matt is a perfect example of what we're going to be talking about as a millennial, Millennial X. Matt, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Todd. Millennial X, you know, I like the title that you've come up with. It makes me sound more like a superhero. And, you know, I don't know how I feel about that, but very excited to be on the show tonight and appreciate the opportunity as always.
Matt, our beginnings of our careers, interestingly, are very, very similar and parallel. When I got out of college, I started working for Sprint Business, and not to age myself, but I will. This would have been in 1996, and I was selling Frame Relay, which I don't even think exists today, and that is a point-to-point connection between multiple locations with routers and bandwidth and everything. And of course, there was no such thing as internet at that time for businesses, at least not that Sprint Business was selling. And then I got into the dot-com gold rush between 99 and 2001. And I was Pittsburgh's first internet sales representative for AT&T Business that was selling internet connectivity back in 1999, which wasn't even AT&T, by the way. It was Digex, which was gobbled up by WorldCom, which then was divested into a data center in Beltsville, Maryland. And then somehow AT&T Business got involved in it, and I ended up going under their banner. But when I listened to you do your little videos and presentations in your position now, it really has many memories rushing back in how I was selling security services, managed hosting. They used to call it co-location services, and managed networks and things that were right on the cutting edge. And today, of course, it's certainly not cutting edge. Everything is what it is from a network perspective, but there is some new technologies in place that I hear you talking about, UCG Vault 400 solutions through your current employer, UCG Technologies, which is so exciting. How does a pharmacist become a technologist, and where can we find more of you?
That's a great question. I don't know where you can find more of me, although, you know, we just did a recent interview and discussion with a pharmacy informatics specialist, and the field itself is actually pretty pretty not well defined. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity in the world of pharmacy informatics, but my personal story starts back in pharmacy school, where I saw opportunity as, you know, in either industry or technology in some capacity, what that was at first, because I saw the field of pharmacy being redefined and expanding. So I took a role in at IBM as a solutions sales specialist. And I know sales has kind of a negative connotation at sometimes, but you know, we really focus on solving business issues and solutions for clients. And so that's a transition from was large in some ways and small in others. Large in the fact that the subject covers a wide spectrum. So a lot of what we learned in pharmacy school was not directly applicable things that we learned and methods in terms of learning abstract concepts holds true. So I took some of those skills, brought it to the technology world, where I saw a large growth opportunity at IBM. And so you mentioned some of the work that I'm doing at UCG Technologies currently with data protection and Vault 400. And we really focus on exactly that, data protection from a backup disaster recovery standpoint. And it's really, you know, you take what you learn in pharmacy school, which is learning a lot of abstract concepts and deductive reasoning and problem solving, and you apply those to another industry, technology, and it's actually more applicable than you think. And so that the work that we're doing now is, yes, it changes fast because the technology space is ever evolving, as is the healthcare and pharmacy industry. But it's an exciting role and it's an exciting field. And, you know, we're doing some great things around data protection, and which is really, you know, what a lot of people are.
We were talking about millennials in the world of business and more specifically healthcare. And I have to admit, you know, 2-3 years ago, I started playing into this negativity surrounding, you know, what is a millennial? And I jumped on the negativity bandwagon, which has just been something that was horrible, that I really shouldn't have been sucked into. And after reading much of what Gary Vee writes about in his Crushing It books, and watching his videos and positivity, and then watching many other influencers in my life in technology and healthcare, I really turned over a new leaf in mid-2017 about all of that. And realized that millennials are the future, and they're bringing so much to the table. Millennials are the largest living generation by population size. Almost 80 million was recorded in the census in 2016, trailing the baby boomers. And I think that the future workforce, the future innovators, inventors, are all sitting in that millennial pool. But Matt, why do you think millennials got the bad rap that they did, starting heavily about 5 years ago? Like, why do you think that all came to be?
That's an interesting question, because I don't know as though it's so much a pervasive thought as everyone thinks it is. I know it's gotten the publicity. You know, everyone, millennials are lazy. Millennials are not as hardworking. Majority, Todd, even think that is necessarily the case. I think it's one of those things that kind of started as a small concept. Everyone, you know, it may be humorous in some ways. But I don't know as though a lot of people necessarily feel that way, because the people that I come in contact with and interact with, we talk about the same thing. And their thought is, boy, you know, I've run into a lot of millennials that are very successful in their own right. They are hard workers. They have goals. They strive to meet those goals and do what they need to achieve those. So, you know, it could be one of those cultural things that catches on as a concept and is not necessarily rooted in any sort of real evidence, but more so kind of a cultural concept that's just kind of taking control. I mean, I've heard it, obviously, and in certain settings, you hear it more than others, but individual basis, if you talk to a lot of individuals, I don't know as though that concept is as pervasive as we think.
Yes, and I think we tend to be drawn into some of the social media memes and inside jokes that might be taken out of context, and there's no better people to make fun of than yourselves. And much of that negativity is actually coming from millennials making fun of millennials. So I think if you do that, there's no harm in it as long as it doesn't perpetuate and blow out of control, as the attitudes of anyone can be very, very viral. So my attitude was, centered around a couple people in that age group that I watched and had been given way too much opportunity by their parents, which, really fostered a lack of hustle per se. And that was two people out of the 80 million that are out there. So, I look at it now.
Yeah, and you touched on something very interesting there, Todd. A lot of potentially millennials that had certain upbringings that may have had more opportunities than others maybe fostered that sort of mentality. Now, I will say, personally, I had a huge amount of opportunity, and that has not hindered my work ethic and my drive in any fashion. In fact, it's probably made it stronger. So, it's tough to put, certain things in one bucket or the other. However, when you start to see a pattern of the same thing over and over, even in a small sample size, to extract that into a larger population becomes much, much easier.
So in first meeting you through social media and finding the non-traditional pharmacist, which is Matt Paterini's podcast and entity and initiative to accentuate and support the non-traditional pharmacist. They strongly believe that pharmacists do not need to be a traditional pharmacist if you don't want to be. I think of the five sectors of pharmacy as community, institutional, long-term care, hospital system, compounding, and specialty. But Matt, you and the team, Lynn and Nick, you guys focus on thinking outside the pill box, and you've interviewed some very interesting people, nuclear pharmacists, pharmacists that are researching medical cannabis, how that's going to play into the larger scope of care for patients that are candidates for that. And that is just a side passion and hustle that you have, and that alone in your personality, Matt, really draws people in like myself who want to be around people, who want to be around like-minded hustlers. And your background, like I said a little earlier, is very parallel in the technology background. And what's interesting is that you're setting yourself up for nothing but success based on the layering of that. I feel like you're about 10 to 20 years ahead of where I was at your exact same stage because of that side hustle. See, I was raised, Matt, to go find something that I was good at and throw 100% of myself into it, which doesn't sound bad from the basics, but I now live to constantly hustle with regards to something else. And that, of course, is the Pharmacy Podcast Network. On top of my position as director of strategy for an addiction recovery organization that has 75 treatment centers throughout the country, new season. And what's interesting is I see you doing that same thing. I see the direction that you're going in. But your primary position right now that keeps food on your table and your insurance paid and your car paid and your rent or your mortgage paid is actually something that can build into other things that are happening into healthcare. So what is happening in your real position today, and how do you see that touching the world of healthcare and becoming a platform that you can really build off of?
Boy, that is a phenomenal question, Todd. And it's really interesting. When I went from IBM, which was, you know, from pharmacy school to a large technology company like that, I was, you know, slightly removed from healthcare, but in a way still related, because I was, you know, dealing with many healthcare clients, both in health systems, both in the pharmaceutical industry, and it was kind of a nice blend. Now I take a new role where I'm in more of an entrepreneurial environment, and the subject matter, the actual work that we're doing, is actually even farther removed from the healthcare space. So I say, okay, you know, I have a skill set in healthcare. I'm formally trained in pharmacy, doctor pharmacy. Now I have kind of more of a practical knowledge on the health, on the technology and business side of things. And I really want to be in an environment that's a little bit more self-control. The entrepreneurial spirit is something that I associate with. And so now I'm in my role at UCG Technologies, where we deal with data protection, backup, disaster recovery, and really more IT type work, which is okay. But what's interesting is, because we're in such a nimble environment, we're actually now beginning to acquire a healthcare, health system contract management solution that we will incorporate into UCG Technologies, which by the design of the president of the company, was really done with me in mind. This is going back 6-8 months when I was onboarded to this company, but it's just now coming to fruition, where we're onboarding kind of a software as a service solution that's related to the efficient and cost savings contract management of all of the contracts that are associated with a health system or a company, not just the pharmacy department. So now we're starting to see that, yes, this largely technology-focused company and kind of, you know, large infrastructure historically is now bridging the gap, and I'm a large reason of that, and I'm very, very, very excited about it, to be bridging that gap between CG Technologies has been historically over the past 30 years, and now where we're going in the future with me and my healthcare background. So it's blending the two.
Some of what you're doing, a lot of what you're doing at UCG Technologies is behind the scenes. That data protection, those protocols that you're helping an IT director to come up with in order to customize for their network and for their solutions and technology. So many people, that salespeople, marketing people, directors, nurses, doctors, people that are lawyers, and it doesn't matter. You pick any industry and what you guys do behind the scenes, people might not realize, because we just take advantage of it. I think of things like, for example, blockchain. People throw that word around like it's a buzzword, and really it's just another grouping of networks, another grouping of computers and machines and servers and firewalls all talking to each other at a much higher rate, a more efficient rate, pathway of the communications taking place and the verification of transactions taking place. But it's all based on, when I just started out this conversation and started talking about frame relay, goodness sakes, makes me feel like a grandpa of telecommunications. But it's all grown out of the layering of technology. And when I think of that, I think the layering of someone's career like you, and where this can actually go, and being able to be brought back to healthcare. There are some big health systems out there. UPMC right here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Cleveland Clinic over your way. University of Florida health systems. And California has obviously a gargantuan, I can't think of the name of it. And I'm thinking, you know, medical records and electronic health records and data and patient reporting and analytics and predictive modeling. This is all based on the types of technology that you're actually making a living in. And people, I think, take it for granted.
They absolutely do. And, you know, the lines are blurring between industries. You know, healthcare is actually a prime example. But, boy, to say that I would have gone from pharmacy to technology, even farther into technology, and then back into healthcare and kind of blend that all together. I mean, the industry on both sides, pharmacy, healthcare, and even technology, are changing so rapidly that it's almost becoming, you know, you almost can't segment it. You know, it's kind of, you have technology that relates to healthcare, and then you have pharmacy that blends into that. And so, you know, it's the idea is building skill sets in all of these things that are related. Maybe it's sometimes they're distantly related, but putting them all together, you can do really cool things in the marketplace, and especially in different systems that are doing, you know, very innovative things that are trying to break through and do new and exciting things, taking old technologies, combining with new technology in healthcare. And you really need to have an exposure to all of that. I mean, I see so many times that, you know, boy, if we just had this system and this system and this system that did these things, that would be great. The technology aspects and, you know, technology in its own right is a long-standing industry, so they're not thinking about that side of things. Then you flip it to the technology side. Okay, well, it should be so easy to solve this problem in healthcare because we know technology can do X, Y, and Z. But they're not really thinking about kind of the practical implications of that in the real healthcare space. So it's really becoming necessary to be able to speak both languages, both healthcare and technology, to be able to solve problems in both.
So what do you say to your fellow millennial regarding their careers, reaching other levels, networking, being a hustler? I couldn't stop myself. It probably started back in 2004 when I really started my, I didn't even know it was called a side hustle back then because that term wasn't really coined yet. I don't know who coined that, but now it's a well-known term to be a, you know, what's your side hustle, you know, and that everybody knows what that means today. But I had a so-called quote-unquote side hustle in 2004 when I launched the Pharmacy Technology Resource, which was all about helping institutional pharmacy owners leverage technology faster, better, and making more money in doing so and being more profitable, that you can put that back into your business. But what do you say, Matt, to your generation that is on both sides of the fence, the ones that might be unemployed and would do anything for an opportunity to do something that they want to do and work, and then on the other side, the existing well-employed, doing well, but that insulation, I hear the voice of Aaron Albert in my head all the time of saying, you know, don't rely on one thing. Always have something else in order to mitigate the risk of that company collapsing. And you know, back in my day, and to make myself feel old, my father, for example, an electrician for over 40 years, worked with IBEW, International Brother of Electrical Workers. That's all he ever did. I mean, he didn't even, you know, he should have had a side hustle in real estate because he was good at it when he was in it back in the 70s, but for some reason he pulled away. But many people in that age range, Armco was a big steel company in Butler, Pennsylvania. There were people that would start working at Armco at age 18, and they didn't stop working until age, you know, 65, 70 years old. So, and then that company fell apart. So in today's age, when we see, you know, companies being bought in our own healthcare field, we see conglomerates, huge organizations being gone after and attacked in mergers and different things. What do you say to your millennial generation and brethren, per se, with regards to their careers?
You have with goals, in my opinion. You know, it's kind of where the Non-Traditional Pharmacist started. It's kind of my personal approach. Goals is number one. Number two is small, tedious, repetitive tasks. So it's kind of an interesting contrast in that you really need two general mindsets, which are very opposite from each other, but both are essential. You have to lay out what you want from your personal and professional life. That includes money, that includes schedule, that includes title, that includes, you know, everything that you want to do in your professional life. What does that picture look like? Forget what the actual role is and what the actual subject matter is. What do you want to achieve out of your professional life? What does that picture look like? Okay, good, you have that. Now, what are some steps that you can take on a small, tedious, repetitive nature over and over and over and over to achieve those? So it's interesting. On the one hand, you have to be kind of this big visionary, this grandiose goal-setting type mentality. But then on the other hand, you have to have the discipline to execute on the very small things that over time add up to that very big vision. So sometimes I think it's combine the two. Some people are very, they're kind of big visionaries. They have great ideas, very innovative in their thinking, but they lack being able to execute on the small, tedious day-to-day things that are necessary to achieve that. On the other side, people might be, you know, they might be the type of people that like the very repetitive, tedious type things day in, day out, and that's great. But you really need to combine the two to achieve the goals. And that picture that you've set forth might look like one thing, but I guarantee another type of job. So being able to see, you know, where that vision that you have set forth for your personal and professional life fits, and then also identifying and executing on those very small things that over time, when you add them up, they will lead to success. That's kind of how I think about it, whether that's right or wrong. That's kind of where the non-traditional pharmacist comes from. We heard so many times, you're in pharmacy school, you know, our definition of success in the program is doing a clinical residency, for example. That's great. That's if people where they fit in the role of pharmacy, and those careers are absolutely needed. They're very important, but they're not for everyone. So, you know, we said, boy, that doesn't fit my vision, my picture of what I think my professional life should look like. But I know there's pharmacists out there doing a lot of other things that do fit that vision. Let's highlight some of those and share those with the community so that we kind of give some inspiration as to, you know, boy, there's a lot of opportunity out there. If you set forth what you think your professional life should look like, there's a role that fits that, and then you can take the necessary steps to achieve it. So, you know, goal setting combined with those tedious, repetitive tasks, that's what leads to, I think, a happy.
That formula could be used in almost anything and lead to being successful in that and not expecting it to be anything overnight. I'm struggling getting back in.
Absolutely.
It's like weightlifting and not seeing the definition in my arms like I did when I was in my 20s. And all it would take is repetitive, correct exercising and repeating the conditioning or the weightlifting or the eating right, and the consistency will produce the results. The same with any relationship. If you're not feeding and exercising your relationship with your significant other, it's never going to blossom and be what it could be from a success perspective, and is the reason that the relationships collapse, because they're not kept up, as a myriad of other things. But it's amazing to hear you say that formula, and that formula sounds simple, but waking up and doing it every single day is pretty hard. And I find myself very frustrated, for example, 9 years in my current side hustle and podcasting for that first 3 to 4 years and wondering why I was doing it. And now seeing what the network has become, I would have never been here today if I would have half-assed it or half did it or didn't do it like I, every day, doing something to grow that publication. So bravo in that attitude. Anyone listening, no matter what age group you're in, if you want it, you have to do it every day. And it can be little bits and little bits. It doesn't have to be a touchdown every day. It can be, you know, inches. And I have a guy, a young man, 17 years old, entering his senior year of high school in the fall of this year. He's a junior now. He has 4 offers from colleges for full rides as a scholarship in football. Jelani Stafford, amazing kid, actually works as an intern for the Pharmacy Podcast Network doing scheduling and phone calls. And I tell him it's inches, just like the game of football. It's inches. Your life in your relationship success, your life in your career success, your life in your side hustle success. And by the way, your side hustle could become something much bigger if you keep going at it. Is all about the inches. It's all about the little bits and continuously doing it. It's what that famous Gary V says, and he's absolutely right. Although people have been doing it way before him too. His wine business was, he was wondering why he was doing it, but he did it every day, and then it just blew up. But you never know when that's going to happen, and you have to have a mentor. You have to have people critiquing you. You have to have thick skin. You have to be able to see, as you said, Matt, the goal. And it doesn't matter if you're a millennial, a baby boomer, whatever. What comes after millennials, Matt? Is it Generation Z?
I think they're saying Generation X. I've heard a couple of different things, Todd. I don't really know.
Me either. I think it is Generation Z. But regardless, you have got to keep going. Whatever that is, even in your full-time career, my full-time career, 40 to 60 hours a week of doing nothing but that position with all the heart in the world. And if you want to be good at it, that's what you have to do. I love, Matt, the videos that you do that no one from your organization told you to do, and you throw them out on LinkedIn, and I'm so impressed with that kind of stuff. And that's stemming from that creativity that you have in social media.
I appreciate that, Todd. Yeah, I really appreciate that. It means a lot coming from you. It really does. And I enjoy doing it. You know, I enjoy crafting messages, that ways to give insight, into an industry, provide new value to people, and kind of entertaining too, hopefully, sometimes, a little break from everything else that people see day in, day out. So I really enjoy it, and it's been an exciting part of my work at UCG. And that's another thing that's so great about working in a small organization. You can take on responsibilities and initiatives like that that are well received, and really make an impact with kind of a growing business. So no, that means a lot to me, Todd. I appreciate that.
So Seth DePascal, he runs the Pharmacy Inspection Podcast, which is part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. It's all about compounding. He's just amazing, him and Brian Prince. He put out a post the other day that showed his hand going to a fax machine and crumbling up a piece of paper. And he basically put the message that any marketing coming through fax is going to get, basically thrown in the circular file. But what's really funny is when I hear you in the videos that you make that are they're quick snippets of information about some of the technologies that you are talking about, but you do it in a way that's very down to earth. Not to date myself, but back in my day, we didn't have the internet, the interwebs, but I didn't have the interwebs. I didn't have the internet to be able to market myself. So I would literally draw cartoons on a blank piece of paper with like the name of the guy that I was trying to get a hold of or the gal that I was trying to get a hold of, director of technology, director of IT. I would draw a funny cartoon on Fridays because we had a more lax day on Fridays. And I'd probably do anywhere from 5 to 30 drawings a day. and fax them to people to get their attention. And Matt, you would not believe how many people would finally respond to me for that appointment to actually come talk to them about their long distance and frame relay network connectivity from point to point. And they responded to my draw, which is the 1998 and 1999 version of what you're actually doing today in order to gain attention and differentiating yourself. You're being human, but you're talking intelligently and you're delivering something that your competitors are not doing, which is like...
Appreciate that, Todd. Yeah, it's, you know, in a world where there's so much noise, and I see it too, you know, it's not... I part of the reason I do those videos is because I'm getting hit with the same things that everyone else is. You know, you see the same stuff over and over. It's slightly modified. Messaging's a little bit different. But, you know, being a real person and giving a message that's relatable and providing some insight into someone that actually is in that industry, in that business, and that's powerful stuff. And, you know, it comes from a genuine point of really trying to get that specific message out with a little bit of helpful information and specific action steps to take should you want to do something about it. And that's kind of where it stemmed from. And, you know, I'll continue to do those. And especially as we grow further into the healthcare space at UCG Technologies, I will continue to do those even more. And, you know, it's really been a good platform for us.
That's terrific. So in winding down, shout out to millennials, be a millennial Xer. And that is someone that refuses to fit in the box. Don't fit in the box, even though you're going to be expected to do things, obviously follow directions, do what you're supposed to do, but always think what else can be done to accentuate your career, accentuate your own branding, standing out from the crowd, not to continuously revert back to Mr. Gary Vee, but he always shouts out that 98-99% of the people out there aren't doing it, which I don't know if that's an exaggeration or if he's done any statistical studies or surveys or something, but regardless, there are so many people out there that I call them, you know, just being cows in a line, just kind of going with the motion, following the next guy. I used to do crazy things to get people's attention when I was looking for a position, for a job. I would fill out the application, then it turned into online application, and I would never stop there. I would send a greeting card. I would send a FedEx. The FedEx cost me probably between $7 and $14, but if I really wanted the interview, I would FedEx a cover letter, a resume, and a tiny career portfolio to get their attention, and guess what? I got the interview 100% of the time because I was doing something that was out of the box. So you have to learn the box. You have to learn the rules of what's inside the box, but then you have to crawl outside the box. You have to surround yourself with creativity. You have to surround yourself with hustle. You have to read about other things. If you're a pharmacist, obviously Pharmacy Podcast Network is you know, the biggest fan of all things pharmacy. But if you're a pharmacist, you should read something that has nothing to do with pharmacy. You should learn something about technology or a lawyer's life or someone in horticulture or in research or some, you know, engineering, and just understand, because you'll extract ideas from those other disciplines and those other verticals, and you'll be able to bring that stuff back to the world of pharmacy and healthcare and help us all be better. And I see that in you, Matt, with regards to your technology background, but then also the non-traditional pharmacist, which is why I absolutely love the fact that you're part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Your content is fresh. It's so much fun. Love your interviews. And like I said, I'm a big fan.
Well, thanks a lot, Todd. We appreciate the opportunity as always. We will continue to do what we can to build our brand through the Pharmacy Podcast Network, but also do what we can to build the Pharmacy Podcast Network in general. You know, it's a big team sport, and I absolutely love what you're doing on your side in growing the industry and the field of pharmacy the way you're doing. So hats off to you. We're proud to be a part of it and happy to be part of the show.
Well, Matt, thanks for this interview tonight and just talking back and forth about millennials and the generations of what the future holds for innovation and healthcare and technology. But I just appreciated your time.
Thanks, Todd. Happy to be here.
Google, the non-traditional pharmacist. It comes right up. Matt Paterini's blog and his team focusing on non-traditional pharmacy career paths. And send us an email. I mean, publisher@pharmacypodcast. That's publisher@pharmacypodcast, or tweet me @pharmacypodcast or the Instagrams. You know, I'm not such a big, I need to be, but I'm not big on Snapchat yet. I'm trying to, but I just can't, like, I think of who has the time to do as many of the social media platforms that I'm told that I should be doing. But my sweet spots are Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and then the rest of it, maybe Instagram a little bit, sprinkle some of that on it. But what's your go-to social media, Matt?
Go-to professionally has to be LinkedIn. It's a staple. But, you know, what's becoming more popular, people, you know, me included, man, I'm scrolling through LinkedIn. Instagram all the time. But I'll tell you what, Todd, when we get on, maybe we'll do another episode at some point. Maybe it'll be all pharmacy Snapchat oriented. We'll get your username up. We'll do a couple of stories, maybe a story, a 24-hour story in the life of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. How's that sound, huh?
That would be great. I need all the help I can get.
We'll get you there.
Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network on with Matt Paterini. We thank you so much for listening. Please go to iTunes, give us a rating, let us know what you think. And as always, thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Hey, thanks for listening to another episode of The Non-Traditional Pharmacist. Are you a pharmacist that thinks you could be the next Pharmacy Podcast Network star? We are continuing to build out the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you're listening to the show and have an idea for a podcast, please email us at publisher@pharmacypodcast.com. Once again, that's publisher@pharmacypodcast.com. The way you can help the show is give us a review over at iTunes and make sure that you share the podcast. It's the network. It's the network that's helped us. It's the network listeners that has helped this podcast network to grow. And we thank you for always listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.